Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Colossians, and we're in chapter 3. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Many times if a man helps somebody on the side of the road get free from a ditch, it's because they can, not because they care. Women care. In fact, they care that we don't care. They do. And that bugs them. You got to kind of let that go. What's it say? Tenderhearted, bear with, forbearing. Why? Because even as Christ forgave you, you forgive them. Because if you don't, you're going to have a rough way. It's the difference between being two oxen in a yoke and one's chafing because it's trying to go this way and the stronger one's going that way. He's stronger than you. But you know as years go on that you can control him. Now that control could be utilized in an appropriate fashion or an inappropriate fashion. Many times today, marriages break down because big deal, ordeal, raw deal, new deal. That's what happens. And they're thinking this is an ordeal, then they think they got a raw deal, and I'm going to look for a new deal. You see, the reality is you got that option now. The door is wide open. You can throw him away. You can do that. You know it. You hear it in every movie, every TV show. You hear it in your friend's Facebook posts. Got rid of the jerk. That's not biblical, and it's not right. And it's not going to serve well to those who do it. Because when that happens, there's a ripping and tearing. You might write in your margin somewhere or off to the side, Malachi chapter 2, verse 16, where the Bible tells us that God hates divorce. He doesn't hate divorcees. He just hates divorce because it creates a great deal of violence in the soul. It does damage to the soul. You know, when you do something wrong, you feel bad about having done it. And this is a big wrong because children are involved, because you're involved, because they're involved. You married your brother. The Song of Solomon, Solomon calls his wife, my sister, my spouse. You're brothers and sisters. You have to take care of each other. Think about it this way. If you have a brother, you will appreciate this very clearly. If you do not, you're going to have to use a sanctified imagination. But if you have a real brother and you see some girl who's really trying to mess with him and destroy his life and lead him into something that's evil, you're going to feel really badly for your brother. You might even jump into a, you know, fisticuffs kind of mode and go in there and grab her by the shoulder and say, what do you think you're doing? Leave my brother alone. We need to get our minds back to what's going on. And if your husband, as your brother, is being solicited to a lot of bad, you have to remember what your role is to help him, not to hate on him. And this world in which we live is getting nastier and nastier. The cesspool's coming up higher and higher. And you have to be communicative because you're better at that than they are, and you have to bring them along. Do you know what is happening today? I will encourage you to listen to the radio broadcasters sometimes, and I'm talking commercials and stuff. The men's voices are becoming softer. If you listen to AFR, they got a guy on there who does this MediShare, Christian Care MediShare voice. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, what happened to the men? Don't let your man become that. Women make men into better men, or not. And what has happened is our society has come unglued in such a bad way that our men are becoming feminized. They're more concerned about skinny jeans. They're quaffing their hair. I think that's how you even say that word. Can't spell it, just say it. Quaffing their hair. I don't know. I don't have hair to quaff, so I just had to say that. But the thing is that men are becoming... I was sitting with a young lady who was going to visit a guy who she knew casually on a plane. And I had just read an article that said a thing a girl looks for in a guy is whether his shirt, where his buttons are, lines up with his zipper thing. You know, everything's kind of organized, or he's worried about how he's dressed. I said, this is weird. I said, does that matter to you? She said, yeah, it kind of does. She's looking for a guy who knows how to dress. I'll tell you what you need, ladies, is you need a guy who knows how to defend you. Because the world is coming unglued, and if you want to ask where a case in point would be, go to Sweden. And you go to Sweden, it's the rape capital of the world today. And when the entire society becomes feminized, the men become weaklings. I want to ask you to take your Bibles and go with me, please, to the book of Isaiah in chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3. This is an interesting commentary, and I use it because I'm talking to those of you who can be change agents and who can tell other ladies on your Facebooks and so forth how to be change agents, and also to give you passages of Scripture to make them realize you're not just crazy for thinking the way you think. You have foundation in Scripture. Isaiah chapter 3 says, and if you let your eye fall into it, look at verse 12. The Bible says, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them." Children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. "O my people," and he's talking to the men, "they which lead thee cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy paths." Now that is a powerful commentary on a day where children are given everything they want. When was the last time you heard somebody, and I know it's been heard because I've heard it, but it's very rare. But when was the last time you heard somebody say, "I'm going to divorce my son. I'm going to divorce my daughter." It doesn't matter what they do. They will go to the ends of the earth for them. And as bad as they're being treated by their son or daughter many times, they don't say anything. Many times the man represents stability. And if the man is in the home, you've got more of a stable home. If the man could be a man. You know, when women hold a baby, they hold them very much in a cradling, nurturing way. When a man's got a baby, he's throwing him up in the air and catching him. And the wife's like, "No, stop!" When Lincoln was born into our home, we have video where my two sons, Brandon and Craig, are throwing the child 3 and 4 feet away from each other, back and forth. Listen to that. That's like a trapeze saw. They're like, "Oh." Y'all, see, the women felt that. The guys are like, "Yeah. Did anybody drop them?" That's the first thing the guy thought. Did anybody? Because we're like, "That's cool. You know, we go to the races to see somebody wreck." What I'm saying is men help women to lighten up. And women help men to become a little bit more domesticated and focused in all of their angst. They begin to build. They begin to acquire. They begin to succeed. They begin to conquer. Men are here to conquer. They're more focused out, just naturally. That's why men go through their 50s and 60s. They start having those midlife crises. All the things I missed. All the things I didn't do. Women are still at home doing the dishes. When men retire, women are there and they're thinking, "Why are you here? You're supposed to go somewhere." But women's jobs never finish. But if women don't understand that if they rule over the men, it can destroy the paths. That goes back, and stay with me in chapter 3 here in Isaiah for a minute. But I want to remind you what it said in chapter 3 of Colossians. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as it is fit or appropriate in the Lord." The word for fit or appropriate means that it is that which it's come to. It's a word that means a convergence. This is what it's come to. And you know what it's come to? Is that in the Scriptures, God has to say out loud that this should be done. In the creation, there was no vying. There was no competition. It was instinctive for a husband and a wife to have a certain kind of a relationship. Now it must be intentional. Now you have to make up your mind to do it. Just like in America, freedom is a great thing, but we don't have the freedom to do what we want. We have the freedom to do what we ought. And so we make laws. But now we've taken the laws and we've let, you know, some of these things stand, but some of them, hey, doesn't matter. You want a divorce? It was Ronald Reagan who actually was the first governor in America who instituted no-fault divorce. As great of a president as he was, think about the impact of that. You didn't have to go prove cause and grounds for divorce anymore. When I was a child, they had a thing called divorce court. And boy, they would just air all their laundry out there on the TV. But it was going on all over America. When somebody wanted a divorce, they had to prove grounds. They had to bring in witnesses. They had to have character witnesses. Then the kids were up for play. Today, it's not like that. You can get a divorce like that, man. I remember a couple guys talking in, you know, kind of in a work setting. The guy said he's getting married. He said, "Yeah, I'm not getting married. You just find a woman you hate and buy her a house." Because the poisoning of the mentality of the men is they're afraid. And now men don't want to marry. And women don't want to marry because they've watched their families fall apart around them, and so there's no need for it. But they won't divorce their children. Now, I want you to look back with me at chapter 3 of Isaiah, because this is very powerful. If there's any question about what he means in verse 12 about women ruling over them, look at what it says down in verse 16. He says, "Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion. Now the daughters of Zion is referring to all of the women who were in the society of Israel. It's a generic thing. He was saying all of the women in the society were out of control. He says the daughters in Zion. He says he will smite them with a scab, the crown of the heads of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their cauls and their round tires like the moon, the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings and the rings and the nose jewels and changeable suits of apparel and mantles and wimples and crisping pins. And you know what? I don't know what they are either, but you girls must know what they are. You girls have things we don't know what are. Okay, that's this. This is a whole lot of stuff here we don't even know, but women came up with creative new things. I'm sure it could be explained, but I'm trying to be light about something that's very serious. You're a mystery to us, and you blow us away. And what has happened in the society of Israel here is that they have thrown off all the confines of decency. And he says he's going to take away the bravery of their various accoutrements. He says in verse 22, changeable apparel. Verse 23, it says the glasses, the fine linen, and the hoods, and the veils. And it says, and instead of sweet smell, verse 24, there will be stink. Instead of a girdle, a rent. Instead of well-set hair, baldness. And instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth. Burning instead of beauty. Thy men, look at this. See, we know it's talking to the women. Your men are going to fall by the sword. And your mighty men in war. Now, I'm not bringing this to you as you being that group. I'm bringing this to you as you being that generation. Okay? You guys are in the generation. You are the salt of the other girls. And you can tell them what's right and wrong by saying, here's what's going on out there. Look, the Bible said it happened in Israel right before they fell. This is the northern kingdom's prophet. He's talking about Israel, the northern kingdom. Isaiah is saying, the world's out of control because the women are dominating the men. And because of that, the men will be killed. And you're going to be completely vulnerable. If you do a little Google search on Sweden, you would find out that it once was the most peaceful country in the earth, and now it is the rape capital of the earth. And the way that they're explaining it is that the men cannot control themselves. So pile on another thing to the men. What's really happened is the government has been taken over primarily by women who have a soft heart. Bless them for a soft heart. But this clouds their judgment, and they're letting in all these 20 and 30-year-old Muslim boys in who are called refugees, and now the boys, having no respect for women at all, are raping the women. And when they go and they ask the women on the street after their whole reputation in the earth has become the rape capital of the world, the women would say, well, men just don't know how to behave themselves. Men? That means all of us are jerks. It's not so. The Bible sanctifies the heart of a man, and he honors women. Women would not be oppressed in a Christianized society. They're oppressed in an Islamic society. You've got somebody like Hillary Clinton wearing one of her coverings as she talks to certain people as the Secretary of State. You think they really respected her? The first people that would fall would be the people they would think would be their heroes. But look at verse 25 again. It says, the men shall fall by the sword, thy mighty men in the war, and her gates shall lament and mourn, and she shall be desolate and shall sit upon the ground. Meaning all of Zion. He says they're the daughters, but it says Zion. It says the whole society will crumble. In our generation, the feminization of men is going on, and the feminization of women is going on, and what has happened is everything's turned on its ear. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.